This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Welcome to the Wizarding World Lorecast. Join us as we take a deep dive into the lore of the fantastical world of the Harry Potter universe. Welcome back, witches and wizards, to another episode of the Wizarding World Lorecast. I am one of your hosts, Ben of Temeria, followed by my awesome co-host and friend here, Nina.
What's up?
How are you doing, Nina?
I'm doing. I got to, so just real quick, since you asked me, so I went to that concert a few days ago to
see my favorite
band. Mm-hmm. Right. I was telling you about that. So I finally got to see Breaking Benjamin, and I definitely lost my voice the next day. I was screaming so loud. So if my throat sounds kind of like throaty, it's probably because I'm still recovering.
That is fair.
All the yelling.
That is very fair. I've done plenty of that when I go to concerts. Well, yes. Concerts that I know the band and know the music of.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to concerts where I have no idea who this person is or the band is. And it's like, I don't know any music. I'm just here for the vibes.
Yep. That's what I was for, like, the first two bands. I was like, I don't really care for them, but I'm here for the vibe of it all. It was really great.
That's awesome. Yeah. So we are back, still doing locations through Hogsmeade, Diagon Alley, all that stuff. And completely forgot we haven't even gone over Diagon Alley. We've done Hogsmeade in the past, and we completely forgot about Diagon Alley, which is the whole, like, first thing we really get introduced in the entire series.
It's okay. But it's not going anywhere.
Right? Here we are with Diagon Alley, and you can experience this yourself if you live in Florida, California. You can go visit Diagon Alley, which is really mm-hmm. awesome. Go to Florida when it's better. Anyway, so really to get started here, Diagon Alley was a cobblestone wizarding alley and shopping area located in London, England, behind a pub called the Leaky Cauldron. Inside the alley was an assortment of restaurants, shops, and other sites. All items on Hogwarts' supply list could be bought in Diagon Alley. Now, I will let you know, Leaky Cauldron, which we'll go over at some point as well. Well, probably maybe after this episode. But Leaky Cauldron can't be accessed by Muggles. So non-magic people doesn't even see Diagon Alley. They don't even see Leaky Cauldron.
I thought it was invisible. Like, they can't.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's there.
So if you notice watching Sorcerer's Stone, Philosopher's Stone, watching the film, you'll see when they go up to the pub, the mm-hmm. Leaky Cauldron sign starts appearing once they got closer to it.
Mm-hmm.
Showcasing it's, really cool. It's hidden to the non-magical.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an all-magical pub.
Right.
So the alley was completely hidden from the Muggle world, which is right outside the boundaries. It is a large inn area and essentially the center of the wizarding London. Consequently, the demand for space here was steep and rent costed loads of galleons, quote-unquote. Yeah, I don't want to know how many gallons you need to have a space in this freaking alley. I mean, Gringotts is right there, so I don't know how that would work.
Probably still cheaper than what rent is today.
I don't know. How much is a galleon compared to U.S. currency or a pound? That's a question to have.
And a pound would be a good idea because the U.S. currency isn't quite what it used to be, so it would be hard.
That's true, too. No, yes, if we get equivalent what a galleon is to mm-hmm. English pounds, then we could make better. Then we can make that transition from the pound to the U.S. dollar.
There you go.
So,
but do you think that their rent went up like it does now, like over the
years?
Oh,
I'd imagine. I would imagine so. So who knows? I mean, we don't know. We don't have anything in like the 20. Well, we have stuff in the 2020s called the Cursed Child, but they don't go over how much is a galleon in English pounds.
That's true. They don't really convert it.
So, and they also don't care.
You swear. Muggle money.
Right. So mm-hmm. with the location of Diagon Alley, it's accessible from Muggle London through the Leaky Cauldron, which on the Charing Cross Road, set between the bookshop and a record shop. The Muggles who passed the inn seemed to be quite unconscious of its existence. Nocturne Alley was an offshoot of Diagon Alley, as were many areas of Horsehead Alley in Carnet Market. To the access the alley, the entrance was behind the leaky cauldron in a small walled courtyard with a dustbin. Diagon Alley could be accessed by tapping the correct brick in the wall between the leaky cauldron from the rubbish bin, three up and two across. The wall went in a small hole first, but formed to a large archway. It could also access by flue powder and apparition. There might have been other entrances as well. Because we do see flue powder in, like, you know, Chamber of Secrets.
Right, right. So do you remember the awesome old games? This was probably maybe a decade ago, maybe two. I'm not going to give my age, but they were called Seen It.
Seen It.
The Harry Potter Seen It games. So they were
I had the...
They're like trivia for it, but on the TV.
Which one did I have? I had the Prisoner of Azkaban one.
Yes. So we had, I think we had up to like movie 4 at the time or whatever, and we would play the crap out of those games when I was younger. And the brick, knowing how to touch the brick, was one of the ones that would always trip us up for some reason, because it would be like, you have to touch the bricks in the correct order.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
To get into Diagon Alley. Oh, it was just the worst. But they were so much fun.
And you know what? I think I had the one up to... It was... Because the CNets was like... I had the Prisoner of Azkaban one, so it had 1, 2, and 3 on it, I'm pretty sure, right? Is that how
was
it went?
Yeah, I know there was like a combo deal one, and yeah, I just can't remember which movie it went up to. Mm-hmm.
Remember. I still have it. It's in my like board game closet back in my family room. I still have it.
I want to get my hands on one and play it. Just force my family to sit down and play it with me.
Yeah, my family would not know anything.
No.
like what I would know.
Right.
So Diagon Alley also is connected to a secret, less reputable shopping district, Nocturne Alley. This alley was completely devoted to the dark arts and was considered disreputable and dodgy by the wizarding community at large. A wizard seen visiting the alley was considered to be up to no good. Makes
Baron
sense.
Around dragon eggs.
Right. And now we move to the community. So inside the alley was an assortment of restaurants, shops, and other sites. Some even had tables out front with colored umbrellas, particularly during the days or weeks before school starts at Hogwarts. The location was packed with witches and wizards. These shops were open year-round as witches and wizards traveled to the location for various goods. While the shops included many school-supplied locations, there were also many other locations important to the wizarding world, such as the Green Gods Wizarding Bank and Ollivander's. Diagon Alley was also the location of Weasley Wizard Wheezes, established by Fred and George Weasley shortly after leaving Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that shop's interesting, too.
Which one? The
Weasley's
Wizard Wheezes?
Wheezes, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely is an interesting shop. I would absolutely want to visit down in Universal.
Right. Do they have that shop in Universal, right?
Was it Universal? I thought so.
I can't remember if they have that one or not. I think they do. Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
I hope so.
So now we are going to dive into the history of Diagon Alley. So here's the early history. So the Leaky Cauldron was present long before the Charing Cross Road, and even planned in the 19th century. Its true address was number 1, Diagon Alley, and it was believed to have built sometime in the early 1500s, along with the rest of the Wizarding Street. It was a popular historical theory that the second oldest building in Diagon Alley was Gringotts Wizarding Bank, and there were other shops grew up around it. However, there is a possibility that Ollivander's was the oldest building, records dating back to the early 4th century BC. Now, I will say Ollivander's has been around since the 4th century BC. I don't think the buildings that have been there since the 4th century BC.
It was started then. That's
when the company was started, the 4th century BC. Because making wands since 4, or it was like 3-something BC.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 390-something BC. So the company has been around. Like Ollivander's, like the wand makers have been around that time.
Mm-hmm.
The building has not... definitely not been there since the 4th century, because London wasn't built.
I would absolutely think that the bank would be there because they use an entire underground cavern system that
now,
they would have.
The bank, I would say, has been there probably as early as the 1500s or a little bit earlier than that. The way how it's structured, because it's very Roman-esque concrete style.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have all the caverns underneath the bank and everything.
Right.
So yeah. I would say the Gringotts was the first, in my opinion. If I'm looking at this, and then everything started building around Gringotts.
Mm-hmm. I'm on board with that.
So when the Statue of Secrecy was imposed, Diagon Alley was hidden by the use of many powerful spells of concealment. The then Minister of Magic, Ulic Gamp, agreed to give the Landlord of the Day present at the Leaky Cauldron responsibility for letting people into Diagon Alley from his backyard. Hence where we get, you know, this entrance from Leaky Cauldron to Diagon Alley. And then in 1926, one of the shops in Diagon Alley was burglared with the help of the four-headed bird.
What's a four-headed bird?
A four-headed bird.
It's okay. I mean, if you're going to be literal about it, it's a four-headed bird, but...
Yeah, it's literally that. It's a four-headed bird. It's a bird with four heads. That's literally all it tells us. It was on November 29th, 1926, and the Daily Prophet reported one of these birds was involved in a Diagon Alley burglary, and it was in the film Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So it's only mentioned in the newspaper, so it's like a kind of a quick glance kind of a thing.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. All right. I'm not going to ask any more questions because I'm not going to get any good answers.
And then next, we now go into Jacob's siblings visits. So this is all the visits that you have in Hogwarts Mystery. So the character that you create because you are Jacob's sibling.
Mm-hmm.
So before the start of the 1984-1985 school year, Jacob's sibling met and befriended Rowan Kanana in Diagon Alley, where he went to purchase the school supplies before the start of the first year, including their first wand from Ollivander and required textbooks from Flourish and Blotts. In February 1988, around Valentine's Day, Gilderoy Lockhart held a book signing event in Flourish and Blotts for his book Voyage with Vampires, in which Jacob Sibling and several of their friends were invited to attend. All I will say,
No.
During the 1988-1989 school year, Jacob Sibling and a friend ventured into Diagon Alley to enter Nocturne Alley. There, they also visited Flourish and Blotts, where they met Madame Villini. Villanelli. What the heck is her name? Can you help me out here? Madame what? Villanelia. There we go. Madame Villanelli.
Yeah, that would be the best. I could. Villanelli.
Vanelli. In order to learn clues about their missing brother, the two also had a skirmish in Nocturne Alley outside Blorgeisen Burks with the Dark Witch and other Dark Wizards, whom Petitious Radpick saved them from. They also visit Ollivander's later that school year to purchase a second wand with Radpick after their first one was broken. They also visit Nocturne Alley to duel a Dark Wizard for Mundagus Fletcher. And so this is all happening your fifth year, by the way, because this is literally where I'm at in my fifth year, is going through all the Nocturne Alley stuff.
Gotcha.
So during the 1989-1990 school year, Jacob went to Flourish and Blotts again to research Maratoko. Shortly after the sibling entered the shop and asked Vanellia, gosh, her name is tripping me up. It's Villanelle. Vanellia. About their brother's visits. During this year, they entered Nocturne Alley several times to various matters. They visited Flourish and Blotts again with Chiara Lobisca and Talbert Winger to research Grindelows. They infiltrated a meeting of R disguised as Radpick with Polyjuice Potion, resulting in a skirmish. They also visited the shop again with Mundagus Fletcher to inquire information about a Dark Witch who had been investigating Jacob's sibling's wand. The two later witnessed Madara Snide being initiated into R in Nocturne Alley by the Dark Witch under an invisibility cloaks. Now, obviously, this is not invisible, like Harry's invisibility cloak. This is the ones that you can physically purchase. They're just not as powerful. Like, so you can buy invisibility cloaks, but they do have a lifespan of how...
Well, so I thought they had like a time limit essentially to them.
They don't. It's more of a lifespan. They only last so long in so many years.
Mm.
Where Harry's is literally it's a Deathly Hallow, so it's an indefinite. It will never lose its power.
Right. They were really trying to make more, it looks like. They're just never going to be as good as the original.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then during the 1990-1991 school year, Zenith Zeep held a meet-and-greet event to market her hair care potion, Zeep's Luxurious Look Solution in Leaky Cauldron. However, the potion induced potent memory loss in several Diagon Alley residents who drank it, including Gardrick Ollivander and Velenini. Zeep, a dark witch working with R, stole a wand from Ollivander's and placed a fake wand in its place. Zeep was confronted in Nocturne Alley by Jacob's sibling and dueled, where she drank the potion in response, erasing her memories. Jacob's sibling later supplied the counter serum to Zeep's potion and several Diagon Alley wizards and witches in Ollivander's, which prevented further memory loss for them. Yeah, ouch.
It's wow. A terrible side effect for
Zeep's Luxurious Lock Solution in Leaky Cauldron. See, my voice acting training is coming to the effect here.
Yeah, working on them tongue twisters.
But yeah, like having a lock solution is like, oh, by the way, it gives you memory loss.
But you're gonna have great hair.
Right? Here's great hair. But you're going to have memory loss. Sorry.
You're not even going to remember how you got it.
How did I get this helpful head of hair? I was just bald yesterday. Wait, was I bald yesterday? I don't even remember.
What's happening to me?
Oh, my gosh. So, and then Jacob's sibling and Jacob returned to Diagon Alley later this school year for an awkward dinner with their estranged father, Pettigreen, in the Leaky Cauldron. Afterwards, the two siblings discussed the honesty of their honesty of their father, who was the leader of R, and Jacob's past relationship with Olivia Green, the new Defense Against the Dark Arts professor at Hogwarts, whom Jacob's sibling was curious about. Jacob's sibling later encountered Ben Cooper and Florsham Blotts, who were there to study the upcoming newts and to remember his deceased friend Rowan Kanana, who loved going to the bookshop.
Huh?
Yep. So, spoiler alert, yes, your first friend that you meet in the game dies.
That's a terrible spoiler.
That
makes me sad, and I don't even know who she is.
Rowan's a male.
Oh. Oh. Well, now I just feel even worse.
It is very sad, because especially how they die.
Ah!
So we talked about it on the show before.
All right. Well, I'm just calling podcast amnesia. That's all I'm calling here. It's okay.
Because it all happens, I think, in your year. I think it happens in year 5 of Hogwarts.
Everything happens in year 5, apparently.
Year 5, right? Everything happens in year 5 in Harry's time. Everything happens in year 5 in your time at Hogwarts 2 in Hogwarts Mystery. And happens everything in year 5. And Hogwarts Legacy.
There's something about that year.
Year 5 is just a turning point for the worst of your life.
True.
For main protagonist of the story. I was going to say, just main protagonist.
Or your friends.
Or your friends who are close to the main protagonist. So,
yeah.
Though I will say, Hogwarts Legacy, it's mainly just yourself that's in trouble all the time. Your friends are in trouble from time to time on your little side adventures, but that's really about it. Main story-wise, main story focus, it's mainly just you, thankfully. During Harry's time and during your time in Hogwarts Mystery, though, it's literally everyone.
Everybody.
Everyone you're associated with can be attacked at any point. Lovely.
Lovely.
But at this point, we are going to take a quick mid-break, and we will be right back. Okay, now that we're back, Or sorry, we're now in the mid break. Gosh. Yeah, we're in the mid break now. Whoa. Things are going. I do so many of these. But welcome to the Mid Break of the show, where we talk about everything with the podcast that has nothing to do with the lore of the Wizarding World. Here, we want to thank everybody who listens and supports the show. Thank you so much. And if you want to support the show, there's a few ways you can do that. You can go to patreon.com/WizardingWorldLoreCast, where you can get every episode or join us once a month on the show itself. You can support us on Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star review on Apple with some words. We'll read that out loud the next time on the show, as well as a nice Spotify comment, which we do have one this week, which, Nina, you are going to love this.
It is
our good friend, Bjorne. That guy, Bjorne, sounds like a cool dude. Thanks, guys. It was an awesome and fun.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
It was a lot of fun, and I got your name right.
Yes.
Hooray. Sure. Bjorne? Yeah. Bjorne. Bjorne, right?
Bjorne.
Bjorne.
You don't
Bjorne.
Pronounce B.
You don't pronounce... Oh. Bjorne. Bjorne. Okay.
Yeah, Bjorne.
I will get it right. I swear.
Our names good friend from the Quizzing World.
Right.
He can't even pronounce his name.
I'm sorry. Names are hard for me. Names are... Go and listen to my Star Wars show. Names are hard. I trip up on names all the time.
Yeah.
So I apologize. My bad.
It's good. He's in good spirits about it, though.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you can find us on a few different Discord servers, the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net, as well as my own Discord server, the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord, where you can find this show as well as the other shows that I host, the Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast, all a part of Robots Radio. So check those out. The links are provided in the description of the episode below. Other than that, you can also find us live every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/BenOfTemeria. Go follow, go subscribe, get notified when we go live because we will interact with you while you're commenting while we're live. And it's a lot of fun if you do that. So
heck
please
yeah.
And thank you. And we have a lot of fun on here.
And we'll see you later.
Right.
Yeah.
And with that being said, let's get back into more Diagon Alley.
All right.
All right. Now that we're back, we are now going over Harry Potter's visits to Diagon Alley.
Good stuff.
So, and most of us should be pretty, you know, recognized a lot of these because they're in the books and in the film. All these are in the books and some of them in the films. I say
yes.
Not all of them are in the film.
No.
But all of these are in the books.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry Potter's first visit to Diagon Alley was with Rubeus Hagrid, marked his reintroduction to the Wizarding World on July 31st, 1991, his 11th birthday. Harry's first stop was Gringotts Wizarding Bank, where he encountered goblins for the first time. After entering this huge grand bank and explaining what they wanted to do to a goblin, Hagrid and Harry were taking it to Griphook down to the vaults in a speeding cart, which made Hagrid sick. First, they stopped at the Potter Vault, then continued to the higher security vault, 713, where Hagrid got Philosopher's Stone or Sorcerer's Stone, depending on what book you're reading and mm-hmm. where you're at. Here in the U.S., it was Sorcerer because it was more tied to like wizards and stuff like that here in the U.S., where in England and other part and everywhere else was Philosopher because that was a known for. That's what
because
it was.
It's referred to as a Philosopher's Stone in every other tale
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. Literally every tale that deals with the Philosopher's Stone is called the Philosopher's Stone, not the Sorcerer's Stone. The Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah.
I can't remember. In the movie, did they say Sorcerer's Stone in the film?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I can't remember if they say Sorcerer's Stone or Philosopher's Stone in the film.
I'm pretty sure they say Philosopher's Stone because I think I remember Hermione reading the book and saying that Nicholas Flamel was the creator of the Philosopher's Stone when she was reading from the book.
Oh, God, this is going to trip me up.
Yes. I'm pretty positive. Because then they're like, well, what's the Philosopher's Stone? And then they had to. Also, I just enjoy how she slammed that book down. Goes a bit of light reading.
Oh, they did. Yes. They were, okay, So they did say Sorcerer's Stone for the U.S. release. And all the other releases, they said Philosopher's Stone. Those scenes were shot twice with them saying the two different words.
Because
we're so extra.
Just so bewildered right now. Right? I'm so frazzled. Like,
really?
Really? Okay.
Anyway. So right. After attaining money from the bank, Hagrid helped Harry shop for his school supplies and purchase Harry's 11th birthday present, the snowy owl Hedwig, from Eyelop's Owl Emporium. Harry later named her Hedwig, a name he found in A History of Magic. Mm. So Harry does read. It's okay.
Just a little bit.
No, I would rather, I mean, if I was Harry, I would be reading all over the place for this place, because I wouldn't want to know everything that's going on.
I mean, we were talking about that the other day, about how right. You would just not... Why would you just not read
it? Why would you go in blind? Why would you do that and be completely dumbfounded every time you get asked a question?
Absolutely. Like, I get trying to take in everything, but read.
Yeah.
Read everything, too.
This is part of your life.
Yeah.
So... Harry also purchased his wand from Ollivander's. After trying out a large number of wands, none of which seemed quite right, Harry was handed a holly and phoenix feather wand. Harry pays 7 galleons for his wand and leaves the shop. Also, when visiting Diagon Alley, Harry remarked that he wished he had more time than one pair of eyes to be able to take in all the sights the alley had to offer. Which makes sense. I mean, yeah. It's your first time Diagon Alley, first time being in Wizards, and like... I would be like, oh my god, this is a life. I mean, when I go down to Universal, that is going to be me. I'm glad I'm here, and I'm going to be down there for a week. So yes, I will have multiple times to take in the sights and everything of Diagon Alley.
Yes, your pair of eyes will definitely do you well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Harry, Hermione, and the Weasleys visited Florsham Bots to buy school books for their second year at Hogwarts. They discovered that Gilderoy Lockhart was signing his new book, Magical Me. When Lockhart spotted Harry, he dragged him up to the front of the camera with him and announced to the crowd that he would be the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher at Hogwarts for the upcoming year. After Harry escaped from the spotlight, Lucius Malfoy and Arthur Weasley got into a fight. Lucius used that moment to sneak the diary into Ginny Weasley's cauldron. And that is one thing different. Gilderoy did not announce that he was the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher in the film. During mm-hmm. all this, but in the book he does.
Yeah, there's also one book that I wouldn't read.
What? Magical Me?
Magical Me.
Oh God, no!
I wouldn't read that one or any of his other ones.
I would love them to print though. All the magical books, all the books, all those books. I would love to have them to print them, just so I could have them as a collection kind of a thing. That'd be hilarious. I would love them to officially publish some of the school books, which I'm dumbfounded why they haven't done that yet. Because people would buy them. Now they
yes,
made,
but Muggles can't know the secrets.
Fair point. But I do know they do. You can get journals with the bindings and everything of that said book, mm-hmm. and the pages are blank. But I would like to have them, like, you know, completely filled with information. Now, I do know there are some Etsy shops where you can get some of the, like, these books and, like, a lot of it. Like, there's the potion making book from year 5, Advanced mm-hmm. Potion Making. You can buy there. I've seen an Etsy shop sell it, and it's, like, literally filled 296 pages filled with, like, actual text and everything that were in the book and the films.
And that's amazing.
Also, stuff put in there. From alchemical recipes and stuff like that.
Oof, I'm gonna have to find that and post that up.
Etsy is a very dangerous place.
Yeah, for my
everybody
wallet.
Know. Yes, exactly. I mean, you don't want to know how many Witcher items I bought from Etsy. I bought all the medallions from all the different Witcher schools that are not available from CDPR. Mm-hmm. because they only made the School of the Wolf at the time. Now I have all the other Witcher schools. Now they make a School of the Cat, finally, after forever. But that's only because Ciri has a School of the Cat medallion. That's the only reason they have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have my own Witcher contracts with my own name, Ben of Temeria, on there. Because that is my Witcher name.
Etsy's wild.
Yeah, wild. It's very, very dangerous. And I also have all the currency from The Witcher. So there's that, too. Sadly, the shop that makes all the currency does not exist on Etsy anymore. They shut down, and they weren't from Russia. They were a coinsmith in Russia, and they also did blacksmithing.
That's really unfortunate. Blacksmithing's amazing.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, off of The Witcher, going back to the Wizarding World. So during the summer before his third year, Harry spent several weeks in Diagon Alley, staying in a room at the Leaky Cauldron by night and roaming the street by day, marveling the incredible shops and the witches and wizards in all forms of the country who came to do their shopping. He did his homework out in the open, ate free ice cream, picked up his books, and repeatedly stopped by quality Quidditch supplies to admire the Firebolt. So this is also something very different that we don't get in the books or in the films, which is very sad, because this is something I really would love to see in the films, because this is where Harry actually finally gets to do what he wants to do and explore Diagon Alley and be in a wizarding like setting of where it's all wizards and witches.
Yeah, where he doesn't really have to hide who he is.
Right.
Being with his aunt and uncle, absolutely.
Right. And then Ron, Hermione, and the rest of the Weasleys were also staying at the Leaky Cauldron. Hermione brought, despite Ron's protest, Crookshanks from the magical Mingory.
Mm-hmm.
That night, Harry overheard Mr. and Mrs. Weasleys in conversation and learned that Sirius Black was after him.
Magical menagerie.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is also very different from the books because we don't see any of this in the films.
No.
This is where Ron takes Scabbers to the magical menagerie to get, you know, food for Scabbers or something like to deal with him like being quote unquote sick. And, like, the person, oh, this is uncommon for a rat like this to live so long, blah, 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 blah. So, hinting at foreshadowing what is to happen later. And then there was the cat, and the cat was literally trying to kill Scabbards. And Hermione loved it. And she loved the cat. So, she bought the cat.
Crookshanks
likes Hermione back. So, there you go.
And that's how it works.
And then also Harry overhearing Mr. and Mrs. Weasley's conversation, and that's how he learned about Sirius Black instead of the film. Mm-hmm. Arthur literally straight up told him.
Yeah, there was no secret.
No, not at all. So then we get to the time of the return of the Dark Lord. So following Voldemort's return into power in 1996, wizards and witches no longer felt safe to wandering out in public, and Diagon Alley changed dramatically. The once crowded streets stood virtually empty. Faces of Death Eaters plastered the fronts of once bright shops, and streets vendors popped up hawking anti-dark devices. Within another year, and Voldemort's taking over the Ministry of Magic, a large number of shops were closed, replaced by others devoted to the dark arts, and the street was filled with Muggleborns who had been cast aside by the new system. Ollivander's and Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlor were closed. Which is sad.
That's a tragedy.
I swear, if they have that ice cream parlor closed when I go to Universal going down to Diagon Alley, I will be very mad. And it better not be, because
You're going during October, where you're going to have a bunch of Death Eaters running around, so...
That is true, that is true. Hey, I do have tickets for an ice cream... what is it called? Not a float, it's a...
Shake?
No. It's like you get, like, four ice creams, and, like... I can't remember what it's called.
Neapolitan?
It's like a board.
It's a board?
So you get a ticket and you're
like a taster?
Hey,
like a taste tester?
Kind of something like that. Like, okay. I have, when I went to Galaxy's Edge last year, I bought a flight. It's a flight. It's an ice cream flight. That's what it's called. You know what a flight is?
I never would have guessed flight. Like, F-L-I-G-H-T, flight?
I believe so. I think that's how it's spelled. A flight is where you get, like, typically 4 to 5 different things in one serving. So, for example, when I went to Galaxy's Edge last year, I went to Oga's Cantina. I visited that cantina about, like, 3 or 4 times when we were down there.
Heck yeah.
It was great because it's alcohol.
Cantina.
And it's a cantina of Star Wars. And it's great. And the atmosphere is phenomenal. Everyone's there because there's a Star Wars nerd. And Rex, the DJ droid DJing the entire place, was also great. And all the bartenders are in character.
Aww.
So what I did, I bought, it was $100, but I bought a Rancor flight. And it's a wooden, like, cup stand. Mm-hmm. And the cups are Rancor teeth. And they bring it out and, like, Rancor, 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 Rancor. And they do all that stuff. It's really fun. And it's like, it's 4 samples of different beers that they have on tap.
Interesting.
But I got to take the flight board home. So I have the Rancor flight board and teeth sitting up on my desk. Outside of my sound booth.
That's
so
cool.
I haven't used it yet, but it's like it's there to where if I ever won like a flight or something like that, I have something like that for Star Wars.
I guess I've never heard of like a sample board or a platter, like a sample platter called a flight.
It's mainly dealing with flights are, you mainly hear flights with alcohol and drinks typically rather than food. But I guess with Universal, it's an ice cream plate.
Ice cream, too, is involved.
But still, I'm excited.
It sounds great, actually.
And for everybody listening, I know those are a little bit of rant, but expect me to bring a lot of souvenirs back from my trip for the Wizarding World, because I will be bringing back a lot. I already have a lot already here, so like, there's already some stuff I don't have to buy. Like, I don't have to buy my robes, I don't have to buy a cardigan or tie or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do need
your wand.
I don't need to buy my wand. I already have my wand. Mm-hmm. Don't need a Marauder's map. I already have that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just like it's other things that you probably would only get there that you can't get on like the Universal website. Like you can buy your own owl. They even have like this new little snowy owl that you can like pin to your like shoulder, and it like you can have it move its head and everything. It's really cool. What's really cool, they have something similar at Galaxy's Edge where they have that for the can't remember what the species called, but the hackling monkeys that like Jabba has kind of a thing.
Yeah,
they have those where you can have one of those on your shoulder at Galaxy's Edge. Or
that's
a pork.
So cool.
You can also have a pork.
That's amazing.
Which is a Star Wars penguin.
They're so cute.
That tastes like chicken. Anyway. Hey, you can buy a pork at Galaxy's Edge, all I'm saying.
Okay. We're not talking about eating those adorable penguins. We're moving on.
Anyway. So, back on topic. So, after Voldemort's eventual downfall and installation, Kingsley Shacklebolt as Minister of Magic, Diagon Alley eventually returned to its splendor of old. And then we do have some later history. So in 2008, Hagrid brought a new child to Diagon Alley to shop for their first year at Hogwarts. Diagon Alley had been repaired since the Second Wizarding War, and all the shops had been closed were now reopened. They visited Madame Malkin's, Ollivander's, and the Owl Post Office. And this comes from the Magic Awaken mobile game, which is where you create a wizard or witch. In the mid-2000s, after the Wizarding War, Second Wizarding War. So this starts in 2008 and goes up through your 7 years of Hogwarts through that time. So it's, and I think, I think you also, I don't know how far they are in the game because I haven't played it since launch. But because it's the combat's weird because it's a card based style combat. It's not like the combat from Hogwarts Mystery, which is all actual like spell based, like it is in Hogwarts Legacy ish.
Mm-hmm.
It's turn based in Hogwarts Mystery, where you know Hogwarts Legacy is action based, and then Hogwarts or Harry Potter Magic Awakened is card based, which is its combat system is all different from the other games, but. I don't remember if you do or not, but I believe you befriend one of Harry's sons.
Hmm.
I think it's his first son because he has two sons and a daughter, correct?
Correct.
So his oldest son goes to Hogwarts before James, who is the protagonist who we follow through the Cursed Child novel or screenplay and play. And that's in the 2020s. So I don't know. I don't know how the age difference. I don't know what the age difference is. You looking it up?
Yeah.
Okay. While you're looking up, I am going to go further in. So other Wizarding Shop eras are also plays Chate, as was the French equivalent to Diagon Alley. And we also have High Street and Hogsmeade had many shops frequent by Hogwarts students, which you can all, you know, you can go through Main Street and High Street and Hogsmeade in Hogwarts Legacy. And you see a lot of the shops that you would normally see in Diagon Alley as well in Hogsmeade. Or similar shops.
Yes. So their first child, James Sirius, was born in 2004. Their second child, Albus Severus, was born in 2006. And then Lily Luna was born in 2008.
Okay. So yeah, you definitely would not befriend either any of them.
No.
When you're going to school in 2008. Yeah, that's definitely a big no.
Yeah.
His daughter's name Lily Luna?
Yep, Lily Luna.
Interesting.
Isn't it? I thought so too.
Luna. Well, I'm surprised they gave her the middle name Luna. Because Luna didn't die.
No, but she did have a good impact on them in their later years too.
She had a good impact on Harry for not feeling like an outcast anymore.
Right.
So, I guess that's why. No, I don't know.
Yeah, there's not really any other female influence on him around his age. Unless he's going to try to name her daughter after Mrs. Weasley, but I can't imagine that.
Or
either.
Hermione, but that's really about it. Luna kind of really helped him, like, hey, I'm not... Made him feel better not being insecure about, like, him being weird.
Being different, yeah.
Being different, which, yeah.
Be different. Just be different. It's better that way.
Yes. So we do have some etymology. The words Diagon and Alley were pronounced together, produced the word a Diagon Alley, which is most
diagonal.
Diagonally. Which is probably the origin of the name Diagon Alley. When Harry mispronounced the name due to inhaling a mouthful of ash, he landed in the fireplace in nearby Nocturne Alley.
Yeah.
And then, last but not least, we do have behind the scenes. So, in the United States, there is a shop which is a remake of a Diagon Alley in Los Angeles, California, called Whimsic Alley, which is a play on the word whimsically. The store features the store fronts inside the shop, which mimics those of the real Diagon Alley, where many Harry Potter and wizard theme items can be purchased. And they're not official, by the way. Like, a lot... I mean, they probably have official stuff in there, but it's not, like, an official shop by Wizarding World or anything like that.
Right, and you can't go into a majority of those shops anyway. It's more of a set. Yeah.
Correct. And I'm talking about, like, this store in Los Angeles.
Okay.
If you want an official shop, go to the Harry Potter store in New York, New York.
Ooh, that'd be a fun trip.
Or just, you know, go to Universal. Then you just experience the entire thing. That's where you want to go. So in the Spanish books, Diagon Alley was translated to... I'm not even going to try. Calajon Diagon?
Yeah, Calajon.
Calajon Diagon. The shopping center Ex Madrid in Alcorcón, Madrid, Spain, was a Harry Potter-themed shop named Calajon Madrigon, which is a play on the original name. Whew. Words.
Mm-hmm.
So in the film Eat, Pray, Love, there is a set that looks very much like the set used in Diagon Alley. Never heard of that. Never heard of that film.
What? Eat, it's pray, a book, love. Too. Yeah, what? Eat, Pray,
I've
Love.
Never heard of that.
It's okay. It is essentially, it's a chick flick kind of a concept, but
that okay, that what that would
there,
be
that's probably why you've never heard of it. But yeah, she goes on to the spiritual awakening of eating and exploring the world and finding out who she is. Yes, chick flick.
Makes sense. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in the film adaptation of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, Hagrid taps a series of bricks to enter the Diagon Alley instead of one brick, three up, two across.
Mm-hmm.
And the two-disc DVD edition of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets includes an interactive tour of Diagon Alley, featuring non-interactive interior views of several shops and an interactive exploration of Flourish and Blotts.
Every single movie that had those interactive things in it in the DVDs,
I have them all.
Were the greatest things ever. I couldn't it tell was you literally how much I just pop those DVDs in just to check out.
They only did it in the first two.
Nuh-uh.
They only did in Harry Sorcerer's Stone, Philosopher's Stone, and Chamber of Secrets.
Right, because I remember
starting
the Chamber of Secrets one.
Prisoner of Azkaban, it was just standard DVD. Now, they had behind-the-scenes stuff in those DVDs still, but it wasn't like the interactable stuff they did in like the first two.
That would explain why I remember it in my early years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, as depicted in the films, Diagon Alley and Nocturne Alley were strictly pedestrian precincts, as the streets are too narrow to accommodate either vehicles or carriages traffic. Presumably, magical means are exercised for stocking the shops, eliminating the need of standard transportation corridors.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, they don't use vehicles to begin with, so they use carriages, but that's it.
Yeah, they don't really, it doesn't really seem that they mind being kind of crammed together. Even.
Unless you're Arthur Weasley, who buys a vintage car and decks it out in magical means.
He's a special case.
No, wait, no, he took that, he confiscated that, I remember,
mm-hmm.
from someone who already did that. And he's like, oh, I'm going to keep it. I don't know if that's wise, but okay.
It is.
So as depicted in the films, Diagon Alley was inspired by the look of London in the early 1800s, but the fantastical touches, such as the buildings leaning on the such sharp angles that would surely fall, were not supposed, if not supported by magic.
Aesthetic.
Yeah. So there is a Lego set based on Diagon Alley, released on July 1st, 2011. It has three main buildings, Gringotts, Wizarding Bank, Ollivander's, and Blorgan and Birks. It includes many figures that have appeared in several of the Harry Potter films. Fun fact, you can't buy that Lego set anymore because Lego does not keep continuing releases of that sets because Lego.
Yeah.
But you can buy... They have been recently in the years, and you can buy them now still, releasing each individual shops of Diagon Alley to where you can have your own Diagon Alley at home. If
mm-hmm.
you buy, like they have Gringotts Bank now, where they even have the undercarriage and underside cavern. You can buy Ollivander. I think you can buy Ollivander's, and there's some other shops here and there. To where you can do like a whole Lego set at home if you have the room for Legos.
Didn't maybe they were talking about it and it hasn't happened yet? But didn't Lego decide to try to put like older sets and just the manuals online so you could make things with like
with
the Legos that you had?
Oh, you might.
All probably. You needed was to either you could purchase it or if you had a
well,
membership
you can,
or something,
you can buy
you can get them.
Possibly. I don't know. I'm not a huge Lego person.
Okay.
But, I mean, I go to Lego stores because Legos are awesome, but I don't buy Legos because, one, Lego is expensive. Two, I don't have room.
Very.
I don't have room to put the stuff once I build it. So, no. No. Plus, I don't like... I'd rather just buy the, like, replica and be done with it and not have to build it because I don't have time to build. I have, like... Two like a dozen of Gundam models that you have to build. I already have some built, but like I have a like literally I have a dozen of them that I bought and I just haven't built them yet because I don't have the time.
That's the difference. I love building stuff. We have a lot of stuff that has been made.
That's fair.
From, yes. But I get what you're saying.
So, though Muggles aren't able to view the Leaky Cauldron unless they reach the entrance to Diagon Alley, Hermione Granger's parents accompany her on her trip to the second year, so it is possible celestial arrangements are available for such cases, such as a temporary connection to the flu network, or family members being charmed to allow them to see the pub. Which makes sense, I mean, because she is Muggle-born, and it makes sense to me.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Or, like, if they're, like, if she's touching them or something like that and go through, like, they probably could see, maybe. Who knows? I would imagine that there's a charm or spell for that.
I would imagine so, yes.
So, there is a Diagon Alley in Universal Studios Theme Park, joined with Nocturne Alley. It includes a lot of the same shops and buildings where one can purchase Harry Potter merchandise, such as Harry Potter-themed clothing at Madame Malcolm's and Wand Replicas in Ollivander's and Gregorovitch. Oh, they have a Gregorovitch. What?
Well, I like that.
I did not know that. That's good to know. I'm going to be visiting other wand shops.
Yeah.
I might buy a new wand. We'll see.
Ooh.
Who knows? I don't know. And then some have proposed that Diagon Alley is based on Victoria Street in Edinburgh, which is located in a few blocks away from Elephant House Cafe. Victoria Street is a narrow, winding road that has high shops on either side, including a bookshop, clothing shop, a joke shop at one end, and a shop that sells wands. However, Rowling has never mentioned Victoria Street.
Hmm.
And in order to fill all the shops in Diagon Alley, set director Stephanie McMillan and her team went to antique shops, auctions, and flea markets in the city and the countryside.
That's the job I need.
Just go to a bunch of random places with old stuff and, like, let's buy all of this for the set.
Yes. That's the job. I love going to flea markets.
We're
going to
buy this stuff and not make it because making it's too much time.
Yes, and then now you're supporting businesses outside of it, too.
Right. And then crew members who went to purchase these items were asked not to say what they needed, so many jars, books, or owl cages. One of the crew members told a shopkeeper the reason they were buying so many broomsticks was because she had to do a lot of sweeping.
Dope.
That's awesome. And then Pottermore had a feature on designing Diagon Alley.
Nice. Like that.
So, yeah, that is what we have on Diagon Alley. That is interesting. I did not know we have a Gregorovitch in Diagon Alley, at Universal. That's good to know. Yeah, I don't know if I'll buy a new wand. I already have my own wand from my quiz, and I have another wand as a backup, and then I have Harry's wand, and then I have a wand I bought, like, back when I was 11 from a website. It's really cheap, but it's good wood because, like, it hasn't broken or anything, and I've dropped it so many times.
That's good.
And then I have the new
interactive one?
I have two interactive ones for the park itself, but I have the interactive one that you can use for a smart TV and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Those are really cool.
But my TV doesn't have the app to support it, which sucks.
That's silly.
So, because my TV doesn't have an app store, everything's just pre-installed.
Yeah,
but it's still a smart TV. So, but yeah, that's what we have in Diagon Alley. Any final thoughts or anything of the subject?
Not on Diagon Alley. No.
Okay. Well, next we have our Quizzing World.
We do. We have our Quizzing World.
I didn't forget this time.
You just can't say his name. It's fine.
I apologize so much. Oh, y'all are never going to let me down on this.
Nope. Anyway. So the question that he asked last week
I want to say the answer.
Okay. What page does Snape tell the class to turn to when he substitutes for Lupin in Defense Against the Dark Arts?
Turn page to 394.
Oh, yes, that is correct.
That's really how he said it too, by the way.
Yeah,
because he does extend the four. He does extend turn the page to 394.
Yes.
I'm trying to get that deep voice there. I'm trying.
It's a good start.
I'm still learning my range. Apparently, I have more range than I actually thought. So there's that.
So this week, the question is, and I will clarify if you have any questions. When the Weasleys come to pick up Harry for the Quidditch World Cup in the book Goblet of Fire, they use the flu network. Why was that a problem? Ooh. So they're coming to get Harry to take him to the World Cup, and this is before he's in school. So that's my little hint for you. This is before he's in school. So, but why was this a problem? It's a little bit of a harder one. You kind of have to really think about it, but the answer is pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that is my question for the week from the Quizzing World.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. And remember, the wand chooses the witch or wizard. Thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net. You can find us on the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord. You can also find us on Twitter at WWLorecast and even email us at wizardingworldlorecast@gmail.com.